Yeah, right. Just think of it as Harley Davidson. When Sandy asked me to preach this Sunday, I hesitated. I haven't preached since I fractured my hip a year ago. Since I can't access the pulpit area or stand, I told her I needed to preach from the floor, and she assured me you'd understand, and so bear with me. Special thanks to Maurice for the prayers and responses that he wrote, and for being worship leader today. For those who do not know him, he's a seminarian at Northern Baptist Seminary. In choosing a scripture text for preaching, I often choose the assigned text from the lectionary, those scripture readings assigned by churches each Sunday. However, this time I chose a text from Exodus. Judy and I lead a faith discussion group Wednesday evenings in the community where we live. And this fall, we're beginning a study of Exodus. The first reading that we had this morning from Stephen's sermon tells about Moses fleeing from Egypt and starting a new life in the wilderness with the nomads, the wandering Midianites. When Moses arrives where they're camping, he sits down beside a well to decide what to do. And while there, he aids several women who were being bullied, after which he's invited by their father to dine with him. Moses accepts the invitation, decides to make a fresh start there, and marries one of the daughters, has two sons, goes to work for his father-in-law, Jethro. Years later, in the desert near Mount Sinai, a messenger from God appears in a blaze of fire to Moses. The combination of the awesome presence of God and blazing there in the bush and the call to lead his people out of Egypt evokes a mixed response in Moses, and he argues, as we might, "Who am I to lead the people out of Egypt?" To which God replies, "Moses, the point is, I am with you." Who Moses is not the question. It is rather, who is with Moses? As Moses is called to a new beginning, he is assured God is with him. So now our text telling of a new beginning. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flame, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't the bush burning up? I must go and see it." And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God answered, I'll be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested again. I will go to the people of Israel and tell them, and if I do, the God of our ancestors, if I tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. May we never forget, God is here, really here. May God bless this word to our understanding and our actions. The pastor gathered the children around him for his conversation with the children. He told them of God's love and then asked them what they could do to show their love for God. And after talking about what they could do, one brave little girl asked him what he did to show his love for God. And he replied, well, I'm a pastor. What's a pastor? Well, it's like a shepherd of the sheep. I thought Jesus was our shepherd. Well, yes, he is, replied the pastor. Then we must be the sheep. Pastor agreed again. And then she said, and you must be the sheepdog. Well, this old sheepdog continues to learn new tricks as I adjust to what life throws at me. Although Judy does most of the driving these days, I passed my driver's test this week, and I'm good for another 4 years, so beware. For the first time, I have an N-scale model railroad up and running, and several trains. We started it about a year ago. We added a steam locomotive this week and some more structures. I decided to recirculate the Classics Illustrated comics I collected as a youth and saved for 60 years. I went on eBay this past month for the first time to sell them, grossing so far over $1,000. We live in a community of over 55 years old, a place of new beginnings. And this is a place of new beginnings too. Lauren has told me that she's leaving Tuesday. We've enjoyed her company for these last years, but she's going to the University of Miami in Ohio to further her education. God's blessings on you. Our text this morning is about beginning again, about starting over, about changing directions. We all have had times when we must do it, either by choice or because we are forced to do it. So now picture Moses. He's escaped from Egypt and he's sitting by a well in a Midian camp. He had been a child of promise, a Hebrew boy, miraculously protected and adopted by the family of the Pharaoh. He was educated first about his own people by his natural mother, who was his nurse, and then as the prince of Egypt by teachers in the best schools in the ancient world. And now, in middle age, Moses goes out to a place where Hebrews were working. And though dressed as an Egyptian prince, Moses' heart was Hebrew. And when he saw one of his own people being abused by an Egyptian overseer, he jumps into action and he strikes the Egyptian. Word gets out about what Moses has done, and he becomes a wanted man, forced to escape into a desert exile. And now he finds himself alienated and alone, sitting by a well in the wilderness. Have you ever been sitting by that well, bruised, abused, wondering what went wrong? I suspect we've all been there at one time or another, banged up by life or other people, hoping for a second chance, a new beginning, a fresh start. Moses' exile was caused by his own actions, his impetuous and violent reaction to an injustice he observed. In the face of oppression, Moses had a good motive, but a bad response. Sometimes we find ourselves by those wells because of the things that we do. Maybe like Moses, we intended only the best, but some combination of our actions and other circumstances produced a disastrous outcome. And we end up on the outside looking in, sitting by a well in the desert, wondering what's next. His exile was also caused by the actions of others. Moses looked around to be sure no one was watching before he attacked the Egyptian. But somehow, some way, the story got out. And now Moses was a regular on Egypt's most wanted list. Think about it for a second. Now, if no one was watching, who could possibly have reported on what Moses had done? The Hebrew worker who he saved, that's who. The very person Moses risked himself to save had reported on him and became the source of his worst nightmare. It happens that way sometimes, doesn't it? The very one you try to help misinterprets your motives or is too busy trying to save his or her own skin to worry about yours, and become the catalyst for your exile. And there you are, sitting by the well in the wilderness, wondering what to do next. Now, the story doesn't end there with a forsaken Moses sitting by the well in the middle of the desert. And if it's so, we just write it off as another tragedy. But the reason this story is important to us thousands of years later is that it demonstrates the hope for a new beginning, for beginning again. It can become a reality for us just as it was for Moses. Because after fleeing Egypt, Moses takes up residence in the desert with the wandering Midianites, their nomads. He marries one of them and then works as a shepherd for his father-in-law Jethro, who just happens to be a priest who worships the same God he does. You've got to see God's hand in all of this. The invitation to dinner turns into a visit, a sojourn, a settlement delightful to all the parties involving marriage and then children. Egypt, the place of his birth, was never really his home any more than it is the home of any of the Israelites. In Egypt, Moses was a stranger. Here in the with the Midianites, he's got a new home. He's a stranger no longer. It was a place of new beginnings. And with this introduction, the foundation has now been laid for the Exodus story, which tells of the beginning of God's people. having been prepared in Egypt, having seen the agony of his people, having learned from the people who love him and the God he worships, Moses is prepared for the call of God to lead his people home. After 4 decades in the desert, Moses doesn't go looking for God. He's happy where he is. But God seeks out Moses. He grabs his attention and extends a call to him for a new beginning, an exciting new challenge that will change his life forever. Perhaps God is calling you to a new beginning. What's your burning bush? Now, God isn't interested in seeing us sit by these wells for the rest of our lives. Has there been some tragedy or crisis that disrupted your life? The loss of a spouse through death or divorce? One of the women in our study group at Edgewater lost her husband this last week. Another one had to resign herself that her husband couldn't come out of the nursing home anymore because of his Alzheimer's. The loss of a child, perhaps, the loss of a career, or perhaps some other critical event, possibly a fall, as Linda experienced, or an illness that has sidelined you or made you sense that your life can never be quite the same as it once was. It's often only after these crises events that God is able to use us most effectively. For Moses, his training in Egypt and his long personal exile in the wilderness prepared him to lead his people into the promised land. Been watching the Roosevelt series, and they mentioned Winston Churchill in it. Winston Churchill, by the age of 33, was a cabinet minister and one of the nation's most popular speakers. But a series of events and unpopular positions caused Churchill to lose his political standing and become a subject of ridicule and rejection. By the early 1930s, he had been excluded from the seats of power. Churchill's prophetic warnings about Adolf Hitler were ignored by the English public that preferred to hear comforting words of peace. When Britain was plunged into World War II, Churchill was already 65 years of age, eligible to retire. Yet that's the moment when the nation turned to him and called Churchill to become prime minister, who inspired the British people to remain firm during the darkest days of the war. Have you experienced some tragedy or crisis in your life, and now you're seated next to a well wondering why and what next? Perhaps that's the very moment in your life that God is calling you to begin again, to experience a new and exciting phase of your life that you might not ever have imagined, because God can use you now with your insights and new understandings in ways you may never have dreamed of before. God may be preparing you for a new beginning in your life. Moses' new beginning was in response to the call of God. Everything that was about to happen in Moses' life was dependent upon his willingness to act on God's call. It's not that Moses wasn't reluctant. In fact, he resisted strenuously when God called him. It's interesting to see the excuses Moses gave for why he was not the person to lead the Hebrews out of slavery. First, he said, I'm nobody. That's probably our number one excuse. I won't ever amount to anything. I'll never accomplish anything because I'm just a nobody. I'm nothing special. How does God answer him? It doesn't matter who you are, Moses. It matters who I am, and I'll be with you. And when we begin again, we don't go alone. God goes with us. Well, Moses decided, I don't know enough. What if they ask me your name, God? I can't even tell them who sent me. And have you ever used that excuse for doing nothing? I don't know everything. I might need to know, so I can't do anything. God responds, I'll tell you what you need to know. If they ask me my name, tell them, I am with you, as sent you. In following Jesus, we don't know everything that's going to happen. Faith calls us to move on the information God has already given us and to trust God to provide the knowledge we need when we need it. But still Moses had questions, and he said, you know, God, I'm not a good speaker. I just don't have the right stuff for the job, Lord. You better get someone a little more qualified. I'm not ready for a new beginning, God. It might require me to do something I've never done before, or to go to some places I've never gone before, or try things I never tried before. But how does God respond to this excuse? He says, Moses, I'm going to help you speak. In fact, I'll also give you a helper to speak for you when you need it. God will provide whatever we need to carry out his call in our lives. Well, Moses, or God called Moses to a new beginning. Today, God is still in the business of giving people a second chance, a fresh start, a new beginning. And that doesn't mean there aren't barriers to overcome, but it does mean that they can be overcome through God's help. Age is a barrier that can be overcome. In his sermon, Stephen says Moses was 40 years old when he killed the Egyptian and fled to Midian. And then another 40 years passes before God's call. So Moses was 80 years old, about my age, when he experienced the call to begin again. Think you're too old to change? Remember Moses. And uncertainty is a barrier that can be overcome. All the excuses Moses offers reflect the basic uncertainty about the future. He must have wondered, am I up to it? Would I be accepted or rejected by the Hebrews as I was 40 years earlier? Moses wanted certainty. And don't we? God was demanding faith instead. Moses wanted to be sure he could do the job before he started. God was saying, you'll only know if you can do the job when it's done. I call my GPS voice Fiona. She's British. And when I begin a trip, I tell her where I want to go. And then she says, back out of the garage, drive down the street, turn when I tell you to turn. Where's the rest of the map, I might ask. But she only gives me directions for a few miles. When I've reached that point, she tells me where to go next. And God is kind of like that. God tells us each step of the way and then goes with us. Are you at a place in your life right now where you've heard a call to do a new thing, perhaps to make a fresh start, to start a new project? The Bible suggests two steps on the road to beginning again. Beginning again requires putting the past behind us. Those things that bind us in the past have to be released in order to move forward into God's future. Have you experienced broken dreams, broken relationships, broken promises that left you sitting by a well in the wilderness, lost and alone? Well, let them go and move on. It was Christmas morning, and the little boy wanted the shiny new toy truck his dad was holding, but he already had his hands full of other toys. And his father said, "You'll have to put those other things down before I can give you this one." What God is waiting to hand you and me right now, but we may need to empty our hands of the old hurts and fears. Beginning again requires putting the past behind us. Beginning again requires a first step. After all is said and done, you have to act. You have to do something if you're ever going to begin again. Babe Ruth was for many years the all-time home run champion with 714 major league home runs. But did you know he was the all-time strikeout champion? He struck out almost twice as often as he hit home runs. He knew he had to risk some strikeouts in order to hit those home runs. Someone asked Babe Ruth the secret of his success, and he said, "I just keep swinging at him." Now that's true in every area of life. You won't hit anything if you don't swing. You won't go anywhere if you don't start. You'll never experience the joy of beginning again if you don't take the first steps. Tradition claims that the Red Sea did not part until the Israelites took the first step into it. Perhaps you saw the recent documentary on TV about the Roosevelt family. I recorded it and we watched it the last couple of weeks. And in his 30s, Franklin Delano Roosevelt contracted polio. He was 38 years old. He was never able to walk again without the use of braces. After 2 years of being sorry for himself down in Warm Springs, Georgia, he responded to the call to run for governor of the state of New York. The people called him to serve, and he was on his way to a new beginning. He was the right person at the right time to lead his people eventually to a better life as president. Only you and God know the pain of your past, but God does know and will help you to overcome any barrier that stands in the way of a new life for you. Jesus will help you overcome the barriers as you respond to God's call to create a difference in your life and the lives of others in your world. And may this fall be a time of new beginning for each and all of us. Let us pray. God of all times and all places, as you saved Moses so that he might serve you, save us so we might also serve you in the name of Jesus. Amen.